Let's spend a few moments reviewing the writings of a few popes as well as the tenets of the Catholic Church. All names which is in the Scriptures are applied to Christ by virtue of which it is established that he is over the Church. All the same names are applied to the Pope. That's from On the Authority of the Council's Book 2, Chapter 17. The Pope takes the place of Jesus Christ on earth. By divine right, the Pope has supreme and full power in faith and morals over each and every pastor and his flock. He is the true vicar, the head of the entire Church, the father and teacher of all Christians. He is the infallible ruler, the founder of dogmas, the author of and the judge of councils, the universal ruler of truth, the arbiter of the world, the supreme judge of heaven and earth, the judge of all, being judged by no one, God himself on earth. That is from the New York Catechism. To believe that our Lord God, the Pope, has not the power to decree as he is decreed is to be deemed heretical. Pope Gregory XIII, 1580. The Pope and God are the same, so he has all power in heaven and earth. Pope Pius V, 1858. This is our last lesson to you. Receive it, engrave it in your minds, all of you. By God's commandment, salvation is to be found nowhere but in the Church. The strong and effective instrument of salvation is none other than the Roman Pontificate, Pope Leo XIII, 1903. But we must not think that he, Christ, rules only in a hidden or extraordinary manner. On the contrary, our divine Redeemer also governs his mystical body in a visible and normal way through his vicar on earth. He rules it visibly through him who is his representative on earth. Pope Pius XII, 1943. The Savior himself is the door of the sheepfold. I am the door of the sheep. Into this fold of Jesus Christ, no man may enter unless he be led by the sovereign pontiff, and only if they be united to him can men be saved, for the Roman pontiff is the vicar of Christ and his personal representative on earth. Pope John the 23rd, 1958. One more. The leader of the Catholic Church is defined by the faith as the vicar of Jesus Christ and is accepted as such by believers. The Pope is considered the man on earth who takes the place of the second person of the omnipotent God of the Trinity. Pope John Paul II, 1994. Is there any other way to interpret what I just read to you as popes, along with the Catholic Church, claiming that the Pope either is or is equal to God and Jesus Christ? Where to begin? Well, how about with the words of Jesus himself? This is what Jesus establishes in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Jesus also explains how the help of the Holy Spirit is the third part of one God. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So as you can clearly see, there's no need for a stand-in for Jesus. Two truths support that fact. First, we have received the Holy Spirit, whom was already assigned the duties that the popes and Catholic Church claim belong to them. Second, Jesus hasn't left. He has always been and will always be. Jesus tells us this. In John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Let's now turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, with Jesus adding this, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Now, some may say that there's a misinterpretation going on with what the popes wrote. Maybe they were saying that they were the Holy Spirit. Now, there's no way to come to that conclusion, especially when you look again at the words of John Paul II, the Pope is considered the man on earth who takes the place of the second person of the omnipotent God of the Trinity. That's Jesus. And this is why it's important that your study of the Bible includes all of the Bible, not just select parts which make you feel good, make you feel comfortable. It's through a complete study that you learn how warnings about false teachings as well as false Christs have been placed before us so we stay awake and we stay alert. Jesus gives us this warning in Luke chapter 21, verse 8, and he said, "Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them." Jesus also warns us about the dangers that those of false claims bring with them, how to spot them. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" Now, how can those who have positions to do good seek to make false claims and do harm? Here's an explanation from Paul that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15. "But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." These warnings of false prophets, false teachings, are seen as signs of what we call the end times. I began with a series of quotes from popes that span centuries. This often compels non-believers to dismiss all of this, claiming these warnings have been sitting there for even longer. And, well, when? I don't see anything happening. Nothing happening. Those non-believers would get the answer they're looking for and wisdom that they desperately need from just one verse of the Bible, which reminds us that we are on God's time schedule, not ours. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day."